Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our spring matching gift campaign. No retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do, because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Hello, Thrive family. We're so glad you're spending your time with us. We're so happy that you're here today, and we have some exciting content for you today about being a safe place to share with your spouse.
And I get to be by the side of my bride, who kicked off our show again.
He's a poet.
Ooh, you're listening to Thrive, and Brad and Vicky Bigney are excited to dig in some more, because we're talking about marriage, and at the heart of this thing called marriage or any relationship is communication, which I hope you realize is words and listening. How good are you at using words and expressing yourself? But then, how good are you at listening to someone else?
Much harder.
And the Bible puts that ahead of, because until you get good at truly hearing that other person, you're not going to be good at the way you use the words that come out of your mouth next. You'll probably miss the mark. You'll probably be off.
Mm-hmm.
You might even be talking to them about something that's not what they even said, or even if what they said, it's not what they meant.
And I think until you get better at listening, you're not really going to be a safe place for your spouse to share. They're just going to not share as openly and as honestly if you're not really listening well.
And the starting point really for getting to a better place is really listening. You don't really know your spouse. And so today, we're going to talk some more about what would take the communication a little deeper. Everything doesn't have to be a deep, deep, deep heart-to-heart talk, but you'd like for some of that to take place on a fairly regular basis. You can't always plan it. In fact, most of ours aren't planned. We just end up having a good heart-to-heart conversation sometimes. But it's those deeper conversations that when you walk away and got to do what you got to do next, your relationship, the roots have gone deeper.
Mm-hmm. And I think you feel buoyed in your spirit. Yeah. Like, okay,
you feel,
good things just happened.
You feel more connected.
Mm-hmm.
You feel less like two isolated beings and more like one connected team. And so we've touched on this in previous shows, but it certainly is worth repeating right here on communication. If you want to communicate better and especially go to a deeper place, you've got to be a safe place for your spouse. Your spouse has to believe that you're safe. I got a hold of this, maybe 20 years ago, and I wrote it in my prayer journal that I want Vicky to consider me as the safest place that she has, the safest person, that she can be herself, that she can really say what she thinks and not think she's
and
about to be judged.
And he is by far the safest person.
Well, yay!
It's true.
But I got to keep putting forth effort.
Mm-hmm.
That could dissipate, that we could shift and drift back to a worse place, but that's on my radar. So if that's not on your radar, consider that right there. Are you a safe place? Are you even trying to be a safe place? But let me give you three ways. We're going to dig in this show, three ways that keep us from getting to a deeper place in our conversation. Here's the first. It's when you intercept or stunt a could-be deeper conversation. For example, it's this. I just feel like I'm a terrible mom. I know you might think that you're doing the right thing, guys, to just say, oh, that's crazy. You're not a bad mom. You're a great mom. I don't know why we're even having this conversation. Uh-huh. That's not helpful. A far better thing would be, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. What makes you
Why do you feel that way?
Why do you feel
that way? You're trying to understand what she's saying without her really even saying it. You want to get to the why behind that statement.
Because I know you might think you just strongly affirmed her that you're not even going to entertain that thought. You're shutting it down. But she's hurting and she's believing it. And here's what you need to realize. There's reasons she's feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know those reasons? Now, they might not be validated.
Right.
They might be lies from Satan. But there's your opportunity to shepherd her, to love her, to sit with her. Remember Job's friends? His three friends that showed up, and he's in a horrible way. All his kids have died. He's got boils all over his body. His entire business has gone bankrupt. And they sat with him for 7 days.
Mm.
And it was meaningful. It was glorious. Here's what you need to understand. When your spouse declares, I just feel like I'm the worst person at work, or I'm the worst mom, or I'm the most ineffective elder we have at our church, I'm the worst pastor, whatever it is, when you say, oh, I'm sorry you feel it, what makes you feel that way? That's you choosing to sit with them. You're choosing to enter into their world rather than slam the lid on it and say,
quickly shut them down.
You shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't even feel that way. And so statements that intercept or stunt, and I'll tell you some of them, is we have Band-Aid, verbal Band-Aid comments that certainly stunt. See if you've ever heard this from a friend and think about how it made you feel. You're beginning to pour your heart out about something or express a concern, and they say, it's all good. It's all good.
Mm.
It's all good.
I don't like that phrase.
Because let me...
It's been said to me.
Oh.
Not by you.
Have I said it?
No, not by you.
But I tell you...
But just shuts it down.
That phrase actually is a euphemism for, I don't want to hear you.
Right.
I don't want you to talk about this. I think it's silly that you're even talking about this.
Right.
There's no reason you should talk about this. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
Right.
That is a stunting, intercepting, shutdown statement. But there's other ones. Oh, it'll all work out. It'll work out. It'll work out.
It's kind of the same
thing. And it might work out.
Right.
But right now they're in it, and it would be far more loving for you to say, oh, what's going on?
Right.
What is going on?
What are your concerns about the situation?
Yeah. What makes you feel so discouraged about this? And then, I'll tell you one. Oh, that's no big deal. That's no big deal.
It's very dismissive.
Because you may have a similar situation in your life or something that was even harder.
Mm-hmm.
But bringing that right now and say, oh, that's no big deal. I once had blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you when they walk away, when your spouse walks away, when your friend walks away, they don't feel encouraged by that.
It's very dismissive.
It's not like, oh, that really helped me to know that they had a harder one and it worked out. What you actually cause them to walk away thinking is, I won't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
I won't begin to be honest. I won't begin to tell them
right, when
what's
someone
really
says,
bothering me.
That's no big deal. And maybe to them it isn't. But they're not entering into your world and showing that empathy and compassion that I want to hear from you. Why is that hard for you? Or what about that is hard for you?
And you need to be careful. In our Christian camp, as we're in the family of God, there are some spiritual versions of this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God's got it, girl.
God's
got it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God's got it. And this might surprise you, but I would even caution you, and I love the Bible. You know I've used scripture a lot in our shows. If you quickly and flippantly just proclaim Romans 8:28, well, God, all things work together for good to those who love God, it's going to work. That's not encouraging to your friend.
No. In fact, I think it's very selfish because really what you're saying is either I'm not choosing to take time to listen to you about this. I don't want to. I don't care. It's a very selfish posture. Any of those. It's all good. It's no big deal. It'll all work out. God's got this.
And even too quickly
kind of
quoting Bible verses that assure them God's in control, very often your friend knows those same verses.
Right.
And it doesn't mean they don't believe it in the moment. But
it doesn't mean you can never say that, but it's good to hear them out.
You shouldn't say it before you've listened
right.
well.
Very well.
I would just say, if you want to have deeper conversations, mm-hmm. restrain how quickly you quote Bible verses. Listen first.
Because people can see through that. They mm-hmm. basically, all of these phrases boil down to, this person really isn't interested in what I'm going through or what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it shuts the relationship down.
Because think in terms of, you want to enter into their world. When mm-hmm. someone is hurting, one of the worst parts about it is you feel cut off and you feel right. like, does anyone get it?
You feel very
does
alone.
Does anyone know? Right. So there's the suffering itself and the trial itself.
That's a very good point.
But it's compounded by a sense of isolation
yes.
and loneliness. You don't even have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you step into their world and sit with them by saying, I am so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds hard. Tell me, what makes you feel that way? I guarantee you, if you do a poll with people, they would say, I can't tell you how many times I'll get an email from someone or a text
mm-hmm.
and they say, oh my goodness, Brad, you helped so much. Thank you so much for your visit. Oh, you guys, those are instances where I have rushed up to the ICU and someone is in a tragic situation who's had a car sitting on top of them and they were airlifted there. Guess what I did? I walked into that waiting room, I hugged them,
mm.
I wept, and I sat down, and I said, I'm so sorry, and I never said another word.
Yeah, you didn't get out a sermon on the sovereignty
yeah.
of God and read to them.
And they're like, oh, that was so helpful. And I can't tell you how many times I've been there, and another Christian comes in from our church, maybe from their small group, and they come in talking too much
mm-hmm.
and quoting Bible verses and assuring them how it's going to be all right. And we don't know it's going to be all right. We don't know anything yet.
Right.
We're waiting. The best thing you can do first is to enter into their world. Oh, try not to be guilty of Band-Aid verbal statements that you slap that you don't realize are actually interceptors, and they stunt deep conversation. Oh, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dig into another thing that stops us from having deeper conversations, that keeps it from ever moving past business transaction.
Back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment. They're walking through how to be a safe place for your partner, your spouse, to share. Here's a question that, while we're taking this break, it's worth thinking about for just a few minutes. Who in your life has ever been safe for you? Like, seriously, like, is there that one person in your life that you know you can go talk to about anything and you don't have to worry about them ever thinking anything differently about you? There's probably not a lot of people in our lives that we would lean toward giving that description to. That's a rarity. When you head over to FortisInstitute.org, you're going to find an ability to become a gospel partner. You're going to find all of the information that you would need in order to do that. Here's why that's important. Because it's gospel partners. These are men and women just like you who keep what Brad and Vicki are doing on a weekly basis. Keep it going. It gives them the ability to continue to create content. It gives us the ability to funnel it out to you for free without paywalls whatsoever blocking your access to it. Everything we create is absolutely free of charge, and it's because of our gospel partners. Now, if you would like to join us as a gospel partner to ensure more people in more places all over the world also have access to this content, go to FortisInstitute.org right now and get all of the answers to all of the questions we know you have. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicki. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Vigney.
Oh, we're talking about how your communication, it doesn't always have to go there. It certainly shouldn't stay there. But you would love to have some deeper conversations from time to time. So what is it that keeps us from ever having them? Whew. Number one, you might be guilty of intercepting, stunting statements that shut it down. It's all good. Oh, it's going to be all right. Oh, that's no big deal. Same thing happened to me. And even God's got it. Listen, Enter into their world. Say, oh, I'm so sorry. That must be hard. And do it with your spouse. But here's another thing that shuts it down. It's when you try to correct your spouse's perspective. You hear how they're hurting, and there might be a place for, ooh, I don't think she would have to hurt that much, or he would have to hurt that much if they understood blah, 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 blah. But Vicky mentioned it in an earlier show. You guys, nobody cares how much you know until they believe and know how much you care. Mm-hmm. So when you give solutions too quickly, especially when it feels like you're reminding them, you've done a couple things wrong. If you would have done this, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be hurting so badly. And here's what I believe after being alive for almost 63 years as a guy and being a pastor for 40 years, women, hear this, guys, women long to connect. Mm-hmm. And I believe men tend to correct and fix and solve.
Right.
He made us very differently. And some of it's good. I know he designed us a little more as guys to be hunter, gatherer, provider, fix it, solve it, rescue. And so some part of this is good, but let me be honest.
Once again, balance.
A big part of it is bad, because I think when we rush in to correct
and solve,
it really is, how can I end this conversation? And just, we don't have to keep having this conversation.
Right, kind of another way of saying, I really don't want to.
I'd really rather for this conversation
right now,
not to go any longer. And all you have on your radar is correct, fix, mm-hmm. solve, correct, fix, solve. I'll tell you, a game changer for me as a guy when I was trying to do better in our marriage, I wrote it in my prayer journal and I started praying it. I wrote down these three words: sympathy, support, solve. In that order.
Those are great.
I just wrote down, is that still a pretty good order,
Ben?
Oh,
yeah, it's great.
I thought, as I relate to Vicky, not as I relate to another guy on my team, not as I relate to a guy friend, as I'm learning, how should I relate to my wife? Sympathy, support, solve. In other words, the first thing I want to get better at exuding and expressing to her is, I'm so sorry, that must be hard. Mm-hmm. And then support. She mm-hmm. wants to feel supported in this. And last, number three, is solve. I remember when we were transitioning from homeschooling. We were homeschooling all the kids when they were little. And we were transitioning to sending the older kids, high school, to public school. And oh, that was very emotional time for Vicky to begin mm-hmm. with, for us to even get on the same page yeah. and make that decision. But as she did, wow, she felt, why don't you talk about it? What were you feeling? What were you going through?
I think I was already slightly terrified. And then, because they had only known homeschooling, so it was already a huge decision, but it just was not sustainable. And I think, we looked at the school, and as we were walking out, Brad's like, wow, that just went really well. And I just burst into tears. I'm like, it didn't go well. But I think something I didn't see was, not everyone, but there were a few people who, other women that still homeschooled, it was like, wow, we can't believe you're.
Did they say that?
Did they say, oh yeah, some of them did to my kids. Like, I can't believe you're doing this. You're ruining your children's life. I mean, that's, for a mother to hear that, you're ruining your children's life, they'll never be the same. That just escalated my fears, and it was very painful. It's like, instead of thinking, wow, this is the choice you and your husband have prayed and made, I didn't feel supported. Like, let's all just mm-hmm. pray for you regardless of public school, Christian school, homeschool.
Yeah. Okay, well, that kind of wrecks my story. I thought it was just that you felt different around different women.
I know.
And
there were
that
things
they hadn't
said
anything to you.
Shouldn't
but
say
you just
a ton.
Felt
one
it.
Person in particular, but okay. not tons.
So more than people looking at you and saying, bad
right.
decision, is
right.
you just felt different around
isolated,
different women.
Yeah.
And you felt like they were judging you mm-hmm. or felt like they were treating you differently.
Yes.
That's what I remember hearing.
Yeah.
And so she would begin to tell me that. I mean, who else is she supposed to? Guys, you need to remember, when your wife tells you stuff, if it's not you, who else is she supposed to do this with?
Right.
You should be that place. Remember, these little subpoints all fall under, be a safe place mm-hmm. for your spouse, that they would know, I can go there. And so she's bearing her heart, and she's like, oh man, on Sunday, I just feel like there's certain women that are treating me differently, and they seem to, I remember you said one time, they kind of act like my kids don't even exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. They never asked me about
exist.
Them.
they're just off the radar now.
Right.
You stopped homeschooling. You're not a part of the tribe. You're not a part of the camp. You're not a part of the club. You have kind of gone AWOL.
Yes.
You've gone astray. Bad mom.
Right.
And, oh, instead of just listening to that, instead of saying, oh, I am so sorry, honey, that must be so hard, I had been continually saying, well, honey, you don't know that. You don't know what they're thinking, and you're judging them. And I kept trying to correct her. Remember, she wants to connect with me over something that's really hard, and I'm focused on correct. She's focused on connect with my husband. Would he love me? Would he support me? And so these conversations kept ending poorly. And I got a hold of sympathy, support, solve, and I started praying. So remember the show recently, wasn't that long ago, where we talked about catch yourself, be filled with the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. I started praying every day, oh God, help me to show sympathy, support, and then solve in my relationship with Vicky. And so I'm praying that. No, one night, I kid you not, I'm in the master bedroom, she's in the bathroom. It's a Sunday. She begins to tell me of a situation she encountered, how she felt around this lady, what was going on. And it was that again. I kid you not. What I always said was right behind my teeth, and I was about to say it again. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, don't. This is what you're praying about. Show sympathy. And I literally, I remember I said, oh, honey, I am so sorry. That must be hard. And she stuck her head out of the bathroom doorway, and she looked at me like, oh, my word.
A different husband.
What happened to that other man that kept correcting me? And who is this? I love it. Even in our church, because we do biblical counseling, way back in the day, the counseling organization that we get certified with was called NANC, National Association of Nuthetic Counselors. And this was so common with guys and their spouses, but sometimes ladies can do it to each other.
Right.
If you're not careful in your relationships, you're not listening, you're not sitting with them, you're not caring, you're correcting. And so people actually started using this phrase, don't nank me.
Yeah.
Don't nank
me. Don't nank me.
Don't nank me. And so don't hear what we're not saying. It's not that there's never a place to correct, exhort, help. But if your first go-to knee-jerk reaction is nank it, fix it, exhort, counsel, correct, tell them what they're doing wrong, you're probably doing it wrong in your relationship with your spouse. Listen so that they would want to tell you something deeper. So don't shut these conversations down with stunting Band-Aid statements. It's all good. God's got it. Don't be so focused on correct that you don't take time to connect. And then thirdly, be careful. It doesn't mean, just like we often say, there's two ditches to fall into, that you do nothing but just complain to your spouse endlessly about everything.
Right. I think sometimes if you're a spouse, it's like, I'm doobie-doobie down, and I want you to always be doobie-doobie down with you, with me.
Yeah.
I want to take you down with me, and if you don't go there, then I'm going to be frustrated with you. You know, my job's working you to death. The basement that we paid to have fixed is still leaking. The dog's tooth is rotten. The car is making a clanging noise when I turn it to the right. And if this is like every day, that's too much.
Yeah.
You know, that should not be so much that I'm talking so much and I just want my spouse to always complain and go down in the depths with me. And I love that verse in Ecclesiastes where it talks about two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. And I think in our relationship, I've seen that usually either I'm down and Brad's up or Brad's down and I'm up. But if you're both, if your spouse is just wanting you to continually complain and go down, 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 that's sinful.
So you've heard me. So Vicky's giving the balancing component to this.
Don't wear your spouse out.
Yes, enter into your spouse's world, but you need to consider, is my world so negative and I just constantly want to suck my spouse into my negative world?
Yes.
And then I proclaim that she's not supportive or he's not supportive because they don't want to go there relentlessly. Consider, is where you want to go a constant, everyday pit of complaining and despair? We're not saying your spouse has to jump into that pit with you. We are saying
exhausting.
When your spouse is occasionally in the pit, don't just stand on the rim and shout Bible verses to them.
Right.
Get in there with them. But you may be in a point right now, whether you either are that person or you have that spouse that just wants to live in the pit and expects you to jump down in with them. That's not what we're talking about. Oh, for your marriage to thrive, you've got to know how to communicate, which means using words in a way that pleases God and listening even more so that you'll understand your spouse, that when you speak, it's much more on target to what's really going on.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.